Hare Krishna. So we're reading, today is Disappearance Day of Sri Ishwarapuri, and this verse is about him. And it's the Adi Leela, chapter 9, verse number 11. Translation: the seed of devotional service next fructified in the form of Sri Ishwarapuri, and then the gardener himself, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, became the main trunk of the tree of devotional service. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes in his Anubhasya, Sri Ishwarapuri was a resident of Kumarahatta, where there is now a railroad station known as Kumarahatta. Nearby, there is another station named Halisahar, which belongs to the Eastern Railway. This railway runs from the eastern section of Calcutta. Actually, I was going to say before I commenced that Srila Prabhupada once said that his purports are spoken kirtan. I think it's kind of nice if you want to like read along with me. I'll be putting up some verses and things shortly as well from Bhagavatam. So there's great benefit in chanting them as well as hearing them. So you're welcome to, you know, as I read, please read along with me because we've got it up there. Ishwarapuri appeared in a Brahmin family and was the most beloved disciple of Srila Madhavendra Puri. In the last portion of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Ancha 8.28.31, it is stated, at the last stage of his life, Sri Madhavendra Puri became an invalid and was completely unable to move, and Ishwarapuri so completely engaged himself in his service that he personally cleaned up his stool and urine, always chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and reminding Sri Madhavendra Puri about the pastimes of Lord Krishna in the last stage of his life. Ishwarapuri gave the best service among his disciples. Thus, Madhavendra Puri, being very pleased with him, blessed him, saying, my dear boy, I can only pray to Krishna that he will be pleased with you. Omigyana timirandasya jananjana shalakaya chakur militam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha nama om vishnu padaya krishna pristaya bhutale shrimati bhakti vedanta swaminiti namine namaste saraswati devi gauravani prachani nirvishesha shunyavadi paschachate shatarane. So this is not the end of the purport, but I'm kind of go through it in several chunks. Just to put this in context, So Ishwarapuri Pad is, as stated, the disciple of Madhavendra Puri. So little needs to be said about Sri Madhavendra Puri. So great a personality is he, and indeed his disciple, Ishwarapuri. These are not ordinary personalities. These are extremely exalted, highly elevated Vaishnavas of the topmost caliber. difficult to comprehend their greatness. But Sri Madhavendra Puri is the seed of, is said to be, he introduced the seed of bhakti as we have it now, as Lord Chaitanya introduced it, of Krishna Prema. He distributed Krishna Prema Pradayate all over the world. So that began with Madhavendra Puri. He was the guru of some very famous personalities who were his disciples, just as well as Ishwarapuri. I'm sure Sutapa knows that. He knows everything. Advaita Acharya, indeed. Huh? Lord Nityananda, yeah, they say he was his disciple, or he may have been disciple of Madhavendra Puri's guru, Lakshmi Pati Tirtha. But yes, they say, sorry? Ramachandra Puri, yeah, we'll mention him shortly as well. He was his disciple. So, yes, you can see. So Madhavendra Puri, the spiritual master of Nityananda, of Advaita, and the grand spiritual master of Lord Chaitanya, that's three of the Panchatattva, And he gave instructions to Garadha when Garadha was a small boy. He was instructing him in a book he'd written, Krishna Lilamrita. I don't know why this thing keeps springing up. So, such a great personality. Lord Chaitanya, he had another disciple called Rangapuri. Lord Chaitanya, in his travels in South India, met Rangapuri. And when he came to Rangapuri, Lord Chaitanya was overcome with ecstasy and he was rolling on the ground. And then Rangapuri, just by seeing that, said, "Oh, I can understand. You must have some connection with Madhavendrapuri, because without that, there's no fragrance of ecstatic love. There's no possibility of this kind of ecstasy, because he's the root of that. He's the seed who brought that, that ecstatic love." So actually it's said that Madhavendrapuri, do you know who he is in the spiritual world? Anybody know? You'll never guess. Yeah, he's a Kalpa Vriksha tree in the spiritual world. So sometimes, you know, when I discovered that, it was quite kind of mind-blowing in a way, because, you know, when we think about, when I go back to the spiritual world, you know, I'll be a cowherd boy, I'll wrestle and fight with Krishna. At the very least, you know, a tree, ooh, how does that work? I'm not sure. A tree for the rest of eternity. But yeah, it's a different story in the spiritual world. It's not like our experience here. We can't even comprehend it. Actually, in the third canto, Lord Brahma, speaking to Narad, is describing the material cosmos, and then he describes something of the spiritual world, but only as far as we can understand it, the pastimes that are revealed to us here in this material world. And then he said, beyond that, I can have no understanding. None of us can. You know, what that is like. That Goloka Vrindavan, Vaikuntha, he described that to some degree, but, you know, it's really beyond our comprehension. But it's going to be good. That much I know. So Madhavendrapuri. So at the last stage of his life, this is being described in this purport, how he became a complete invalid. He was unable to move. So this is what happens to all of us eventually, if we don't drop dead before that, as we approach that very last, you know, years, months of our life, the indignity of old age and invalidity, it comes upon us, and we lie there helpless, passing stool and urine. We can't do anything about it. You know, and we need care. We need someone to look after us. Often that occurs in the hospital, where the nurses very efficiently just take, you know, bedpans and things and deal with it. And, you know, and you just lie there realizing, I'm not this body, because it's too embarrassing. The body's an embarrassment. Prabhupada said it's an embarrassment, and it becomes a real embarrassment when you reach that last stage. But Madhavendrapuri was cared for by Ishvarapuri. At that point, he came, he cleansed him, he, you know, his stool and urine and everything. So he endeared himself to Madhavendrapuri, who blessed him. My dear boy, I can only pray to Krishna that he will be pleased with you, as we see here. And he was at that moment actually absorbed in ecstatic love and separation from Krishna. And he spoke a verse which is very famous. I'm sure some of the pundits here know that verse. Who knows that verse? There's a famous verse which Lord Chaitanya was reciting at Rathayatra, at least trying to recite, which was spoken by Sri Madhavendrapuri at the last moment of his life. I.e. Dina Dayadra. Does anyone know that? You know that verse, right? well, it was basically the meaning of it. Is, my Lord, I was not able to attain you. O Lord of Mathura, I could not achieve you. And now I'm dying. You know, what can I do? in this pitiful state. So he was crying out like that. And as he cried out, another disciple was, of course, Ishvara Puri was there. But Ramachandra Puri was there at that time too. And he was like, "Hey, what's wrong with you? You know, you're leaving your body, man. You should be focused on Brahman. What's this lamenting all about?" He had no comprehension of Madhavendra Puri's ecstatic love. He was very dry. Having said that, Ramachandra Puri, I mean, no one who gets a walk-on part in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes is an ordinary personality. So Ramachandra Puri is actually a great personality. Who is he, Srinivas? Jatila. Yeah. They say, Kavi Kanapur says that. And also Vibhishan. It's very hard to understand the personalities in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. He starts by saying that in his Gaura Ganadesh Dipika. But let me try and give you some idea, because, you know, many of them, more than one personality appeared in those bodies. And in this case, apparently, I have no idea what that means, but it states in his book, Kavi Kanapur, that Vibhishan and Jatila. So anyway, Ramachandra Puri at that point was criticizing his spiritual master so boldly. And so he incurred the wrath, actually, the real, you know, he upset his guru, and his guru said, "Go away from here. I'm dying. And I'm in my, you know, agony of not seeing Krishna, of not having achieved Krishna. You're criticizing me. You know, you're talking about Brahman. You know, if I die seeing your face, who knows what my destination will be?" So he told him to go away. Whereas Ishvara Puri, on the other hand, was, you know, blessed by him. Okay, so let's move on to the next part of the purport. Thus, Ishvara Puri, by the grace of his spiritual master, Sri Madhavendra Puri, became a great devotee in the ocean of love of Godhead. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti states in his Guru Vastak prayer, "Yasya prasadad bhagavat prasado, yasya prasada nagati kutopi." By the mercy of the spiritual master, one is blessed by the mercy of Krishna. Without the grace of the spiritual master, one cannot make any advancement. It is by the mercy of the spiritual master that one becomes... my screen suddenly disappeared. One becomes perfect, as vividly exemplified here. Thank you. So I'd like to dwell on this a little bit as well. Without the grace of the spiritual master, so by the mercy of the spiritual master, one becomes perfect, as vividly exemplified here. Prabhupada would often quote a song by Narottam Das Thakur in this respect, a line from that, Chadiya Vaishnav Seva Nistara Payetcha Keva. Who can achieve perfection? Who has ever achieved it without the grace of a Vaishnav? So that mercy is absolutely essential. And I was going to look at a couple of verses from the Bhagavatam, which also describe that. And we can recite those together because they're beautiful. This one is from the fifth canto. Rahu ganai tat tapasa nayati na chejaya nirvapanat grihadva na chandasa naiva jalagni surai vina mahatpadar jobishekam. So who spoke that? The clue is in the verse. Bharat, yeah. Jad Bharat. To King Rahugana. And here's the translation. My dear King Rahugana, unless one has the opportunity to smear his entire body with the dust of the lotus feet of great devotees, one cannot realize the absolute truth. One cannot realize the absolute truth simply by observing celibacy, brahmacharya, strictly following the rules and regulations of householder life, leaving home as a vanaprastha, accepting sannyas, or undergoing severe penances in winter by keeping oneself submerged in water, or surrounding oneself in summer by fire and the scorching heat of the sun. There are many other processes to understand the absolute truth, but the absolute truth is only revealed to one who has attained the mercy of a great devotee. So this is one very important verse, often quoted by Srila Prabhupada. Mahiya sang parara jo bishekam, unless one can smear his entire body with the dust of the lotus feet of great devotees. So I want to look at that in a second. But there's another verse, very similar, from the seventh canto. Naishang matistavaduru kramangrim sprishatyanata pagamo yadartha mahiyashang padara jobishekam niskinchananam navrinita yavat. So virtually the same line there. Mahiyasang padara jobishekam. Abhishek in the dust of the lotus feet. So let's read the translation. Unless they smear upon their bodies the dust of the lotus feet of a Vaishnav completely freed from material contamination, persons very much inclined toward materialistic life cannot be attached to the lotus feet of the Lord, who is glorified for his uncommon activities. Only by becoming Krishna conscious and taking shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord in this way can one be freed from the material contamination. So this verse also Prabhupada has often quoted in his books. And there's one purport in the fourth canto where he quotes it, and he gives a paraphrase here, which I'd quickly like to read. One should take shelter of a pure devotee who has nothing to do with this material world, but is simply engaged in devotional service. By serving him only, one can transcend the qualitative material condition. In this verse, it is recommended Yogeshvara Upashanaya that one serve the lotus feet of the topmost yogi or the devotee. So, hearing about these, reading these verses, and questions come to my mind. Firstly, how do we serve? How do we smear the dust? Padarajobishekam, all over our body. What does that mean, actually? You'd like to venture? I actually have the roving mic, if it works. Here, someone want to pass that over? Just keep it brief, because we don't have a vast amount of time. I think my wife back there. Needs to be turned on.
I think it's in this purport that Srila Prabhupada explains what it means to serve the pure devotee. It means to hear from him.
Right.
So if this purport is a paraphrase of the verse, then I would say that smearing your body with the dust of the lotus feet is to hear completely and fully and exclusively from the pure devotee.
Very nice. I thought I was going to catch you out with that one. I can't catch my wife out. She knows more than me. So to hear. Of course, Ishvara Puri rendered menial service and in that way achieved the mercy of his guru. But specifically, Padarajo, to bathe yourself in the dust of the lotus feet. What was Srila Prabhupada's name? His name's Prabhupada. Prabhupada means he whom the Prabhus, at whose feet sit the Prabhus, Pada. So at the feet of the guru, what do you do when you're at the feet, at the knees of the guru? You hear from him. So to actually roll in the dust of the feet of the guru means to hear his instructions, as my wife said. Because the menial service, you may or may not get the opportunity. How many devotees had the chance to personally serve Srila Prabhupada amongst his disciples after 72, like that? Only the really big men could get close to him. everyone else really couldn't get that close, could only see him, hear his classes maybe. So, you know, that isn't what is meant. Although, let's not minimize the value of that kind of thing, but really to hear is the key. Yeah, let's look at the next part of that purport. To serve the topmost devotee means to hear from him about the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. To hear the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead from the mouth of a pure devotee is to acquire a pious life. The conclusion is that to increase attachment for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one has to accept a bona fide spiritual master and learn from him the methods of devotional service and hear from him about the transcendental message and glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this way, one has to increase his conviction about devotional service. So, to hear the glories, so to serve means to hear. So Rupa Goswami gives instructions, Ado Govashrayam, in his Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. First thing, take shelter of a personality, a great personality, guru. And then Sad Dharma Prachar, inquire from him, to hear from him about the science of Krishna consciousness, Sadhu Marga Anugamanam. So then, having heard, we can act, we can follow in the footsteps of the sadhus, of the great personalities. So hearing, it begins with that. This is, and it continues with that. It's not that, okay, I've done the hearing, let me move on to the next stage, and then the next stage, and you know, that it's a progressive, like you leave the thing behind that you've just been doing. You continue. It's the basis, it's the foundation, and it has to always be there. As Prabhupada says here, to hear the glories of Krishna from the mouth of a pure devotee is to acquire a pious life. So what does that mean? Exactly. How do we, you know, what does it mean to acquire a pious life? Is there some evidence that supports that? I'm thinking of a verse from the first canto. Srinivas is a great pundit.
Kinds of piety, isn't it? Bhaktivinoda Thakur says there's three kinds of piety. There's Agyata Sukriti, Jnana Mukhi, and Karma Mukhi.
Okay.
So the Agyata Sukriti is the highest because that takes you to the line of bhakti.
Okay. Agyata Sukriti is the highest because that takes you to the line of bhakti.
The other two are binding in the material world.
So Sukriti, to acquire Sukriti by hearing. Yeah? But there's a verse actually which actually directly states that, which is found in the first canto. We can have a quick look at that. Here it is. Shrinvatam swakata krishna punya shravana kirtana hridyantaksto hyabhadrani vidunoti suritsatam. Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma in everyone's heart and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. So by hearing, punya shravana kirtana, punya, we develop, we acquire a pious life. Prabhupada has stated in that last purport, and I'm quite sure he was you know, thinking of this, this point. And the verse prior to that, Shushusho Sharadanasya Vasudeva Kataruchi Shan Mahatsevaya Vipra Punya Tirtha Nishevanat. O twice born sages, by serving those devotees who are completely freed from all vice, great service is done. By such service, one gains affinity for hearing the messages of Vasudev. So by hearing from who? Those devotees who are completely freed from all vice, Niskinchananam, who have no material attachment or interest in this material world. And what happens when we hear from them? We gain affinity. Vasudeva Kataruchi. For hearing about Vasudev, which is absolutely required. The Prabhupada writes in one place, this is the first qualification for going back to Godhead, to develop this taste for hearing about the Lord. Jai Shishi Radha Gokulananda Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Kijai Sitkornithai Kijai. So this brings up the second question, which I had. Jai. How do we recognize such a person that we hear from a great personality, completely freed from vice, free of all material attachment? So must he be a sannyasi? Could he be a shudra, a householder? What is the symptom? How do we know, you know, that this is the right personality who's worth hearing from? What's the key qualification, do you think? Do you want to pass the... it's because we people online.
I think it's the third canto, chapter 25 or 29, text 10, 11, something like that. But it says the mind is immediately attracted to Harikatha. Just like the Ganges flows towards the ocean, the mind is immediately and constantly attracted to Harikatha.
Okay. I think we've been together so long we've become like fused as one mind. Because honestly, you did not hear this class before. But yes. This is in the 29th chapter. They say the husband and wife are one person, two souls, same body, but yes, this is exactly the verse that I was thinking of. This is Lord Kapila, that to recognize a great devotee, the manifestation of unadulterated devotional service is exhibited when one's mind is at once attracted to hearing the transcendental name and qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is residing in everyone's heart. Just as the water of the Ganges flows naturally down towards the ocean, such devotional ecstasy, uninterrupted by any material condition, flows towards the Supreme Lord. So this chapter is about devotional service in the third canto, Lord Kapila's instructions to Devahuti. Different kinds of devotional service, and then this is what is unadulterated pure devotional service. So we're looking for that person who is completely attracted as soon as they hear the glories of the Lord. And actually, this was the case with Ishvarapuri. Ishvarapuri was considerably older than Lord Chaitanya, and he would wander from place to place. He didn't stay anywhere for very long. And once in his travels, he came to Navadvip, and there he saw he was wanting to associate with Vaishnavas, and he knew, of course, that in Navadvip there were many, and especially his own godbrother, Advaita Acharya. So he went to see him when he got to Navadvip. He went to see Advaita, and Advaita was worshipping his deity, and Ishvara arrived, Ishvarapuri, and he sat down quietly in the courtyard. So he was actually, said he was disguised as an Ekadanda sannyasi. So probably very bright red robes and, you know, sort of, the Ekadanda. So no one really knew who he was. But Advaita could detect that this is not an ordinary personality just by his symptoms, his physiognomy. You can tell, those great sages could tell when they saw Shukadev Goswami arriving, that just by his physiognomy, they immediately understood that this is an exceptional personality. And similarly, Advaita, when he saw Ishvarapuri, this is not an ordinary person. I think you must be a Vaishnava sannyasi, he said to him. And At the time also, Mukunda Ghosh was there. Mukunda is one of the great associates of Lord Chaitanya. It's said that Lord Chaitanya has 8 principal associates. Mukunda is one. Govinda Ghosh, Madhava Ghosh, the Ghosh brothers, Shivananda Sen, Ramananda Puri, Ramananda Vasu, and Ramananda. Anyway, there's 8 of them. I can't remember, but Kavi Kanapur gives all this information in his Gaura Ganadesh Dipika. So Mukunda Ghosh, he was the singer. He would sing, I think Kaviraj Goswami says that who could retain his composure when Mukunda sang? Because Mukunda's voice was so beautiful, was so evocative, and so imbued with love that when he would sing bhajans, the devotees would be overpowered. They would lose control, roll on the floor, lie on their backs, you know, just shed tears like anything. So he sang, when he saw Ishwarapuri, he could also understand, oh, Vaishnav, so let me, you know, serve him by reciting some nice verses from Bhagavatam and singing. So he began to sing, and Ishwarapuri lost control. He fainted, collapsed to the ground, began to shake and exhibit all kinds of symptoms and shed tears like anything. So, of course, Advaita, seeing that, immediately understood that he was obviously a very great Vaishnava. He jumped up, picked him up, embraced him, and both of them were overpowered by this love, ecstatic love. So it's an example. Ishwarapuri is an example of the manifestation of unadulterated devotional service exhibited when one's mind is spontaneously attracted to hearing about the Lord. There was another personality to whom the same thing happened. In a famous instance, Ramananda Roy, Pundarik Vijayanidhi, yeah. Pundarik, same thing. I forget, was it Gopinath sang the Aho Bhakti verse that, you know, about, yeah. So, same thing happened. He collapsed and he went into a trance for 3 hours. He was just lying there, inert. After hearing that one verse. So this is pure devotional service. This is, you know, the person who has developed that attraction, that love, that they become so imbued and overpowered just when they hear. Let's see if I can move on to the next verse. So the next part of the purport. A Vaishnav is always protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But if he appears to be an invalid, this gives a chance to his disciples to serve him. Ishwarapuri pleased his spiritual master by service, and by the blessings of his spiritual master, he became such a great personality that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted him as his spiritual master. Srila Ishwarapuri was the spiritual master of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But before initiating Lord Chaitanya, he went to Navadvip and lived for a few months in the house of Gopinath Acharya. At that time, Lord Chaitanya became acquainted with him, and it is understood that he served Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by reciting his book, Krishna Lilamrita. This is explained in Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat Adi Kanda, chapter 11. Yeah, so, as I was mentioning, Ishwarapuri came to Navadvip, and somewhat uncharacteristically, he stayed there for 3 months because he saw Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya at the time was a young boy, not sure, maybe 12. And he was, at that time, actually giving lessons on Sanskrit grammar. He'd opened his school. Maybe he was a little older than that, I'm not sure. But anyway, he was teaching. And so Ishwarapuri, he saw him, and he was struck with Lord Chaitanya, was so beautiful. His bodily features, slender, golden eyes like lotus petals, black hair, graceful movements in every possible way. He was complete. To see him was to be like just struck and completely mesmerized. And as if anyone, ordinary people would see him. Just by seeing him, one would experience ecstatic love. So Ishwara probably could understand that he has a great personality, but by the Lord's Yogamaya potency, he didn't understand who he really was, that, this is actually Krishna. Lord Chaitanya would go and see him every day. He stayed in the house of Gopinath Acharya, and Lord Chaitanya would visit every single day to see him. And so because he was famed as being a great Sanskrit pundit, Lord Chaitanya was known. So Ishwara Puri said, I have a book, I've written this book, Krishna Lila Amrita, and I'd like you to review it and, tell me if there's any mistakes in there. And so Lord Chaitanya said, how can there be mistakes in your book? This is a book that glorifies Krishna. No one should find mistakes in such a composition. It's an offense to find fault with the compositions of pure devotees because they are expressions of their love. And then he quoted a verse, and I don't know the origin of this verse, Murko Vadati Vishnaya Diro Vadati Vishnave Ubayos Tu Samang Punyang Baba Grahi Janardana. I'll have to ask Kartik Chandra tomorrow where this came from. But Baba Grahi Janardana, Krishna is... what does that mean? What does that mean? Who knows what that means? This is famous, right? He accepts the essence. He accepts Lord Chaitanya, Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, accepts the essence of one's devotion. So the Lord cited that verse, he said to him that I can't find fault, then in order to serve his spiritual master, he picked up on one point. He said, well, the verbal root here, that's wrong. So Ishwara Puri went away and he studied it from different angles, meditated upon it, and finally he concluded that it wasn't wrong, and he went back to Lord Chaitanya and he said, that verbal root you said was wrong, Datu, actually it should be as I've written it. And Lord Chaitanya said, thank you, yes. He accepted defeat because he likes to glorify his devotees, and of course his spiritual master, he takes that subordinate position. That was a very beautiful pastime where the Lord, let's see if I can move on to the next one, to teach others by example how to be a faithful disciple of one's spiritual master. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, visited the birthplace of Ishwara Puri at Kumarahatta and collected some earth from his birth site. This he kept very carefully, and he used to eat a small portion of it daily. This is stated in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Adi Kanda, chapter 17. It has now become customary for devotees, following the example of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to go there and collect some earth from that place. So, Lord Chaitanya, he met Ishwara Puri a second time after, in Navadvip, after he left Navadvip. There was another incident, and I'm sure you all know what that was. Where did he meet him the second time? Gaya, after his father passed away. Jagannath Mishra, he went to do the pinda, the last rites at Gaya, at that time he saw Ishwara Puri, and he said that that now this is the fructification of my pilgrimage to Gaya is realized in seeing you, because by, performing the last rites for my father here, then his soul will be liberated. Of course, James Mishra's soul is eternally liberated, but he was setting some example there. And but by seeing you, millions of people can be liberated from birth and death. You are like a walking place. You are a place of pilgrimage. The places of pilgrimage pray for the dust of your feet, because the Tirthas, they become burdened, because people go to the Tirthas and you know, to disburden themselves of their own sinful activities that they've accumulated. And they take bath there, and you know, they walk around, and the holy places, it's said that they become burdened by the sin. And great personalities go there, and they purify by their presence. They purify even the holy places. Bhavadvida bhagavatas tirtha bhutak swayam bhiva tirtha tirthani kurvanti svantak stena gadavrita. I think Yudhisthira spoke that to Vidura, right? That when, you know, persons like you are like holy places personified, walking places of pilgrimage. You carry the Krishna within your heart. So we go to the holy places because they're where Krishna performed his pastimes. But really, we go there because we find great personalities there. Prabhupada says that we go there to hear from those personalities. That's really the benefit of the holy place, hearing from such personalities. And so Lord Chaitanya, he said that to Ishvara Puri, that now my very purpose of coming here is fulfilled because I've met you. And he requested initiation from Ishvara Puri at that time. And that began his... it's still there, that's good. That began his... then he began to, his mood changed. Up until that point, until he took initiation from Ishvara Puri, he concealed himself. He was acting like a scholar and wasn't really manifesting his love of God, his real identity. But after he took initiation from Ishvara Puri, then a transformation came over him, because the seed fructified. As we said in the very beginning there, that the seed of love of God, which was planted by Madhavendra Puri, fructified in Ishvara Puri, and then became the tree in Lord Chaitanya. So that initiation symbolically passed it on to Lord Chaitanya, and he's the main tree and of the of our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya of love of God in this world. And he's also the gardener. So he's the tree and the gardener. And so Ishvara Puri, yes, he after that, he when he left there, there were some nice pastimes between the Lord and Ishvara Puri. One day, Lord Chaitanya one day was cooking prasadam, and Ishvara came to him at that point. And he said, Pandit, I've certainly arrived at the right time, as you just cooked a nice meal. And Lord Chaitanya, you know, he fed him. It was the other way around, right? Ishvara Puri was cooking, and Lord Chaitanya came there. Yeah. Was it Lord Chaitanya? Yeah. Oh, that's right, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I was getting confused. Yeah, and then he cooked again. He said, just take it, no worry. I can cook again in no time. So anyway, there were some very beautiful exchanges there, which are mentioned in Chaitanya Bhagavat. And one other thing, another nice pastime I'll briefly mention, is that Ishvara Puri had a couple of disciples whom he sent to Lord Chaitanya after his departure. Who knows who they were? This is a tough one. Huh? Govinda, yeah. And the other one? Kashishvara, those were his two principal disciples of Ishvara Puri. Well done. Kashishvara was a powerful guy, and he was noted for pushing back the crowds at Rathayatra when Lord Chaitanya was dancing. And Govinda, of course, became his personal servant. He was from a Shudra family, and but Ishvara Puri accepted him, initiated him, and the Lord was discussing Krishna Leela one day with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and others, and And Govinda came and said, my spiritual master has sent me to serve you, and Kashishvara will be coming soon as well. Sarvabhauma said, "Why? How could Ishwarapuri, who was a great Brahmin, accept a Shudra as a servant? Because according to the Smriti Shastras, Smarta principles, one should not, a Brahmin should not be served by a member of the lower order of life in Varnashram." So there was a nice instruction there that Lord Chaitanya gave, that just as the Supreme Personality of God is completely independent and can do what he likes, my spiritual master, Ishwarapuri, is on the same platform. And he's completely independent and he can act as he likes. And if he wants to accept and initiate a Shudra, that's okay. And of course, as we know, because we're all Shudras, at least I am, we've been accepted by Srila Prabhupada in his line, that's not a consideration in Vaishnav Siddhanta, Yashyala Lakshanam Praktam, that we look for the Lakshana, we look for the symptoms, the qualities of the person, not the externals, that they may be a Shudra or whatever. It doesn't matter. So that was another nice pastime of Ishwarapuri. So it's 25-2. I'm going to pause. I'm going to stop there. And if anyone has any questions, please, now would be a good time before we wrap it up. Or if anyone knows any other pastimes of Ishwarapuri that I've